Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah's over. Happy holidays, everyone, and happy Apocalypse Day. This is Two Dimension Podcast with no direction. And this is the end of the world. This is December 21st, 2012 today.
Have you killed your zombies today?
Because if you haven't, they're coming for you. I am your host, Dallas Busha, and with me, together again, we have the entire crew.
What's up?
And who are you?
I don't know. Who am I? I'm the guy that's been missing for like the last 20 episodes or something. Hey, everybody, it's Rook.
Don Moore.
And Angry Al.
Angry Al, we got some stories tonight. Oh, God. There's some stories. We were at the mall earlier before we came over to Rook's house where we're recording tonight, and we have some stories.
Because it's always a good idea to go to the mall shortly before Christmas.
Exactly, yeah.
Of course it is.
Especially to Radio Shack.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there you go, Rook. You don't,
have to say anything
say
else.
Say no more, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. So, you know, Don Al and I work together at the Widget Factory, and so we decided to come over to Rook's to record the show. And on the way, Rook's like, you know, can you come over at this time because, you know, I got some stuff to do around the house or whatever. So Don, Al, and I, and Don's daughter, Holly, we went to the mall, and we grabbed a bite to eat, and we stopped at Yancey Street Comics, local comic shop.
Yeah, what's up? Yancey Street.
And in the meanwhile, we realized that we needed an extra microphone. So Al's like, all right, well, let's go. There's a Radio Shack here. Let's check it out.
So I go to the Radio Shack, and while my friends here are waiting for me, we're looking around for a microphone. Patiently. They're, like, standing there looking at whatever's on the wall. Nobody's there to help you. There's a guy in the counter, and, like, let's just say we've been there for 10 minutes before I find the microphone, and he's just sitting there talking to a customer, pleading with her to buy a warranty in Spanish, okay? And I'm like, you know, and I know Spanish, obviously, so it's like, dude, enough, you know?
But the guy was like, he was really pleading, right? She didn't want to buy it.
She said, no, my husband says no. He goes, are you sure? This is a very valuable piece of equipment. She goes, no, my husband says no. Okay. Are you sure, ma'am, you don't want it? And I was like, okay, here's another 10 minutes. Just
nothing
waiting.
Like high-pressure sales tactics.
Yeah, here's another 10 minutes, just standing in line, and I just, like, blew it. I put it back, and I go, I'm tired of sitting here waiting for these warranties. Jerks to sell their warranty. Let's get out of here and go. And I like blew my top, but you know, hey, nothing happened. No harm, no foul. Nobody got hurt.
Well, I think Don and my feelings got hurt.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm
no,
sorry about that.
I think
that.
Don and I were both pretty shocked because we've never seen Al
get mad.
Rant or get mad like that. I mean, yeah, I know you've ranted a little bit. You know.
Yeah, on the other show.
On your other show, or at least I don't know if you have, but Dr. Morbius has.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I pointed that out. We were walking through the mall. I told my daughter, you know, it is the end of the apocalypse when you see Al lose his temper. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And the other thing that amazed me was I couldn't stand a word those people were talking about. And I was so mad. She kept saying in Spanish. Oh, that's right. You speak Spanish.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing this because I've never even seen Al raise his voice. So, I mean, I can't believe this.
It was kind of scary.
It didn't end. Next, we went to Best Buy, and we had a problem. First off, we couldn't find the product.
Right.
Second off, I'm like, okay, well, I'll run off and try and find a sales associate.
Good luck there, buddy.
I found a girl that worked there, and I said, hey, can you tell me where your microphones that hook up to computers are? She goes, oh, follow me. So I run down a couple aisles with her to two other associates, and she says, ask them, I don't know. And she walks off. These two other associates are both helping customers. And I'm like, okay, well, what do I do now? They're deep into, you know, trying to sell computers to other people. That got me nowhere.
Yeah.
So and then Al runs off trying to get help. And
we all try.
Let me tell you something about Best Buy. My kid has recently saved up enough money that he went and bought himself a PlayStation Vita.
Nice.
Very proud of him. However, I swear to you, we were standing there no less than 25 minutes trying to wait for this girl that was talking to another customer so we could ask questions about the Vita. And she wasn't even talking about product anymore. She was just BSing about how to raise kids. It's like, hey, lady, I have $300 to spend over here today.
Do your job.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just like, who hires these people? Where are they coming from? You know, I'm sure the guy at Radio Shack probably is forced to push warranties, and if he doesn't, his manager, like, gets on his case, so whatever. But I'm not going to take that crap.
Wait.
You know?
here's an even more important question. Your son raised $300?
I know, that's awesome.
When I was his age, you know how long it would... When we were his age, how long would it have taken us to raise $300?
Oh, forever, because I would have been spending that money. What are you talking about?
Oh, come on. How many... We got like $5-$10 a week.
I will say this. He has been saving since his birthday in October. And he saved every penny. His original thought was going to be to get a 3DS XL, the Nintendo, whatever. Yeah, we took a look at that thing. And let me tell you, I would rather smash my head against a wall than play the DS in 3D. It makes your eyes just want to... You want to gouge your eyes out of your head staring at that 3D screen.
It does hurt after a little while.
A little while, like a minute and a half.
Mark at work's got one.
Less.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So that's our story. Our Christmas story.
Well, anybody else have any fun Christmas stories this year? I know my Ellie and I are big tools for the Christmas season, and I'm a fool, man. I listen enough to my Christmas music. We've watched every single Christmas special on TV, including The Nightmare Before Christmas, of course.
Yeah, my happy Christmas story to myself is that my wife actually changed out the bulbs in that stupid icicle lighting thing in the front of my house instead of me for once this year.
That was probably your Christmas present, wasn't it?
Probably was, with my luck.
Nice, all right, well. I went to take a sip of beer, and I look over, and no one's talking. I'm like, all right.
Well, you are the host.
Well,
you don't drink a beer.
Yeah, such a jerk.
So what are we going to talk about Walking Dead?
Yeah, we've got a lot. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I thought that would start. Talk
Rook and I haven't been on the show in a very long time, and it'll be interesting to talk about a number of things. We got a packed, loaded episode today. I know we also want to touch on The Dark Knight Rises later on. But before we do, let's talk Walking Dead, because Season 3 ended not too long ago, and Don and I both started reading the comics.
Yeah. Ah, good job.
Yeah, we got a whole 6 issues in, so don't give us a pat on the back yet.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, you're trying.
But we'd like to talk about the differences, and we'd like to talk about the show as well, and then I'm sure you and Elle can talk about the comic, Rook.
Absolutely. And
Rook more so than me. I read 20 issues.
Well, and hopefully by the time we get to the next episode, we'll also be able to talk about the books, because I have Rise of the Governor and The Road to Woodbury. So,
can I borrow them?
Yeah, I think I could allow that. We'll see.
Okay, number one, let's talk about something we're all familiar with, the mid-season finale, Season 3. How did you guys like it?
That was a good episode, actually. It kind of like teases you for what's going to happen next. I got an idea of what's going to happen next, but the show is different from the comic book.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, what's funny is this season so far, there really hasn't been any episodes where I'm like, okay, what are we doing here, guys? I mean, there's no progression. This season really has kind of been going along really well. Yeah. I'm impressed with it. But, you know, and I'm sure a lot of other people have noticed this, apparently they have a one black guy on the show.
As soon as Tyree shows up.
Well, no, not even that, okay? As soon as the black guy that played the prisoner showed up, T-Dog
died. T-Dog died, that's right.
And then when Tyree shows up, The prisoner dies.
Let me ask you a question about Tyrese. Two questions. Number one, is his a hammer like his signature weapon?
Yes.
It's kind of like Luba from Love and Rockets, right? Okay, number two, how excited are you that Tyrese is finally on the show?
Oh, I about jumped off of the couch and hugged the TV to finally see Tyrese.
Question number three, did the TV hug back?
I said I about did it. I didn't actually do that.
I think it was great. He had an awesome introduction, and it also showed his strength of character when Carl locked him and his crew up, and he took charge of his team, and he completely respected Carl and his house. And he called Carl a man.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that, you know, you're going to see and is developing with Carl through the show, is that he truly is becoming a man unto himself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that character goes through some changes, too, you know. But the things about it, what about the differences between the comic book and the TV show? It seems to me like the governor's different, isn't he, in the TV show?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The governor's not nearly as sinister and sadistic as what we saw in the comic book. However, we are starting to get glances of what he is going to be capable of in the series, in the television series, I think.
At this point, he's very calculating, I think. And we see a lot of humanity in him, and I don't know if this was in the comic book, but with his daughter.
It wasn't really very much in the comic book. You saw a couple of small glances of leftover bits of his humanity, per se. You know, his decency towards fellow man in the book. However, you know, they're spending more time with the governor in the series, in the television series versus the comic. So, you know, if you read the books, my understanding is you'll get a whole new picture of the governor from the comic book series as well.
Well, I do like the way they handle his character in the show, only because initially when you first meet him, he's very intentionally ambiguous, and you can't quite figure the guy out. Until you know that military scene.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. You're not real sure, you know, is this a good guy, is this a bad guy, what exactly is he? You can't really tell in this television series until he meets up with the guys from the military.
Yeah.
And with, like, the picture of him with his wife and daughter and his zombie daughter, those scenes really kind of tug in your heartstrings a bit, and they make you have a little sympathy for the guy because they're trying to make him human, so you care a little more, and he's not just this vicious villain.
Yeah, absolutely, but, you know, in some ways that was shown in the comic book. Well, actually, it was, period. It was shown in the comic book. But, you know, the governor is not as nice of a guy as they've put him out to be so far. In the comic book, he brutally assaults and rapes Michonne. He, within just minutes of meeting Rick, chops his hand off. So, you know, this is all, hey, by the way, sorry.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
spoiler alert.
Sure.
Well, listen, these comics,
you know,
have been,
the comics been out for a long time.
No,
if you
I
haven't
know.
Read them at this point, it's your fault.
Well,
I can run spoilers.
Here's another fun thing, and I'm sure you knew this was coming. And, of course, me being... Don and I haven't read the comics, so I'm sure it was a big surprise to us. Was the shard of glass in the governor's eye?
Yes, actually, that is kind of an homage to what Michonne does to the governor after the assault in the comic
book. Yeah, I heard about that.
And Al's laughing. Oh,
I know where that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's nasty.
Yeah, yeah. Tell you what, I won't spoil it for you guys. Okay, since you're reading the book right now, but everybody out there that's listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So,
thanks. Yeah, what have you thought about season 3 so far, Don?
Well, I honestly, I've liked the season. I like watching it, but for a while, I was getting a little tired. It seemed like nothing was really happening, and I can't wait every week to watch the show when it's on. And this one, I'm like, okay, it's more of the prison, more of this place. I don't like the governor, and, you know, that was that. And the last two episodes, I was on the edge of my seat, especially that last one. Okay, it's back. It's what I wanted. But yeah, it's something else. I never would have thought of all these things that they're doing. And to me, it's not about the zombies. It's about all the people. The one thing that interested me the most was, I think it's Andrea, the blonde lady from the... When she said she wanted to help, and he said, I'll put you on the wall. It's the one thing I can't stop thinking about is how that girl that was teaching her, how she was acting. She was just so nonchalant, kind of full of herself, talking about how good she was. And then when the zombie came, she couldn't even hit it. You know, it was just kind of halfway. And then Andrea just got fed up, jumped over the wall, went and stabbed it. You know, and the girl was upset about it. You can't do that. And I just thought, you know, that's the whole thing. We'll protect you. We'll keep you in here. And the people have no clue what's going on. She's basically showing how little she knew. I'm starting to understand why everybody outside of here hates Americans, you know?
It's a good little microcosm of America.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm sorry, everybody on the planet.
Well, it's kind of funny that you said the majority of this season so far you haven't enjoyed that much because you felt like it was redundant, and it's kind of the exact opposite of what you said.
Yeah, I think as someone that's reading the comic book, I've enjoyed this season. They've really kind of stepped it up and brought it a little closer to the book series, but keeping it far enough at arm's length that you can enjoy both independently. And, you know, the thing is with the book, you have issues that nothing really happens. And you're just dealing with these people, these survivors, as they try and comprehend and cope with this world that they've been thrust into.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, I'm more interested in the differences, because I think they're fleshing out maybe some characters a little more, but the when they go into the prison, it seems to me like different from what I read in the comic book. The prisoners were different.
The prisoners were very different. You know, for one, we didn't have as many. There were only... Well, no, there were five, wasn't there?
Yeah, there were five.
There were five. Yeah, you know, and the dynamic of the prisoners was very different in the book as well. Not to mention the survival time of the prisoners was a little different in the book, too. You know, Rick didn't exactly drop a machete in somebody's head within...
God, that was great. Man, that scene...
Yeah,
yeah, I love that.
Fantastic.
See, it was surprising scenes like that, and also for me, not reading the comic like I said about the glass in the eye, surprising scenes like that in season three that just made me love this season.
And that one scene where Rick lets the prisoner get eaten by the zombies.
Well, allegedly, since he didn't die, but yeah.
So he thought,
yeah, that's going to come back. And
well, it did.
Him.
That was the guy that let all the zombies in and they killed T-Dog.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was
I know what you mean, though. Just seeing a tougher, harsher Rick. Just not giving a crap.
Yeah, but that's right, yeah.
It is something I like what they're doing. Like, it showed the prisoners attacking, you know, a zombie.
Yeah.
And it's basically just a gang kicking and, you know, this and that. It wasn't effective. It was just a gang mentality.
Yeah, and they basically had to train the prisoners, period,
right,
on how to deal with these things. You know, with the prisoners, they're used to prison riots, prison fights,
right,
you know. Shank them and until they can't fix the person.
Well, yeah, it's bullying. They're used to bullying each other, and, you know, it's, I guess, you'd almost say in-house politics. But it's the same thing when that one guy that ended up dying had a gun. And every time you see a zombie, you just start blasting the gun all over the place and never get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they don't spell it out or anything. They just kind of show it briefly, and I'm like, oh, I never would have thought of that, you know. You know, a lot of times, if anybody else would have done a comic about this, the prisoners would have fought just like everybody in the...
Yeah, they just would have instinctively been like, oh, okay, go for the head.
That's a testament to Kirkman's writing.
And all the other writers, too.
I think it's a testament not just to Kirkman. I think it's a testament to the show, to the producers, to the directors, to the actors, that, you know, honestly, in a situation like this, you have to understand this world exists in a world where there is no zombie mythos, there is no Romero films, there are none of these things exist, so they really don't know what they're dealing with, and it's all new to them. They've never seen a zombie film, and they don't know to shoot zombies.
Well, we don't know that they've never seen a zombie film.
They've never used the name zombie in the entire series.
Well, everybody has a different name
once.
For it. It's walkers.
Yeah, walkers, biters, lurkers. Yep.
Yeah, every group is doing.
Check it out. That's one of the things that I've read before, is that this world exists in a world without zombie mythology.
Really? That's something I didn't know. Okay.
Otherwise, they would have called them zombies by now.
Or, you know, yeah, whatever, you know, monsters or whatever. Yeah, but they did know to hit them in the head to kill them.
They discovered it through trial and error.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing that always interests me, going back to that, was the guy that's doing all those experiments on the zombies, you know, in the governor's camp. And, you know, when Andre was talking to him, he's trying to figure out, and she says, there's nothing to figure out, there's nothing left of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking there's still something deep down inside.
Right.
And it's this whole thing about the wall. They think they know so much, and they really don't know anything. And she said, wasn't anybody in your family ever affected? Well, basically, he was by himself.
Yeah,
at home.
He was there inside Woodbury the entire time. He was never... See, one of the things that you'll discover in reading the book, and I assume they're going to probably do this a bit with the series, is that Rick's group is surviving on the road, on the run. Most every other group that they run into has held up somewhere, has boarded their walls, boarded their windows, excuse me, and batten down the hatches. Where Rick's group has gone, okay, this is not safe, time to go. This is not safe, time to go. So they've kind of transitioned to different locations, looking for that right place. Where these other people are going, we'll make it safe. But there's really no chance to make it safe.
It's almost like Rick's group or whoever's left at the whatever point is looking for a homeland or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Rick's group, it's progressing on. They're always getting stronger. They're getting close. I mean, they're like a real family. They have strong feelings for each other. And that's something that, I can't remember his name, the one-handed guy from the guy's brother.
Merle.
Yeah, Merle. You know, he was talking about how Glenn, you know, he was so slippery before, and what, you know, and next thing you know, he's really gotten tough. I can't believe he threw a zombie on him.
Yeah, and yeah, that was impressive to see with Glenn. I really enjoyed those scenes.
Yeah, it's been fun watching all the characters evolve in unexpected directions, and especially for me, Glenn, because I wasn't a big fan of him during the second season, so it's neat to see him become a stronger, willed character.
I think one of the best things about the show is the fact that you don't know, except maybe with Rick, who's going to live or who's going to die. You know, every episode is like, you don't know what's going to happen. So you're kind of like looking around and everybody going like, oh, okay, when are you going to show up on the show afterwards?
I think that's a good point. I remember last episode and the episode before thinking to myself, man, I really hope Glenn and Maggie don't die. But I really have no idea. They might. There's a good chance they will.
Yeah, because when Laurie died, I was like, what?
Well, Al, you are current with the comic book,
no,
right?
I'm not current. No, I'm not current.
Oh, okay.
But I know I've read a few recent ones, and I know a lot of people are gone.
yeah, very heartbreaking things have happened to a beloved character recently.
Yeah, right. I know that one. Yeah. I looked at that one by accident, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this new guy that they've come across, Negan, in the books, is probably 1,000 times worse than the governor.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy makes the governor look like a pussy.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. I saw that issue, and I was like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah. Oh, you should see what happened in the last two issues.
It's even worse? Okay, I'll look at it.
Very interesting things going on.
Yeah, I mean, Kirkman is trying to out-evil himself at every point.
You see, I'll disagree with that, because Kirkman's writing is great. Okay, if you want to read somebody who's trying to always out-evil himself, Garth Ennis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The boy,
there's one sick, sadistic son of a bitch right there, okay?
So, yeah, okay, Preacher,
I mean, Preacher, Crossed, yeah. The Boys. Yeah. I mean, they're... Seriously, somebody needs to just hug that man, I think. You know, he needs a hug.
Hugs, not drugs.
Well, on that note, why don't we take a musical break? We have something new tonight. Rook, you want to introduce it?
Yes, this is from some friends of ours, local boys in the area. This is a band called Press One for English. The song is called Big Town, Small Market.
Boom.
Small market, you should be like fun. Besides, don't be talking, but you know that you're right in my back bracket. And I don't like you, and Jay doesn't like you at all. No, no, go home. No, 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 go home. No, no, go home. No, 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 go home. Heavy's the hand that wears all those rings. Right, the diamonds were full playing. You know what? You got all those things. But you were always, always in my town. No, no, go home. No, 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 go home. No, no, go home. No, 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 go home. We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Yeah, a little local Newport Richie punk rock music, baby.
Yeah, buddy, that's what I'm talking about. There's nothing like local punk. All right. Well, we just had a nice little topic about The Walking Dead, and I would like to talk about a movie that came out recently, and it actually just came out on Blu-ray, and I'm really looking forward to getting the trilogy on Blu-ray, and that's The Dark Knight Rises.
Which I recently bought the trilogy on Blu-ray.
Oh.
And finally watched Rise. So, here's my review of Batman Rise. What the hell do you all see in this fucking movie?
No, really, tell us how you really feel.
You really don't like it.
Are you kidding me? If you know anything about Batman and Ra's al Ghul, you saw that coming a mile away.
Okay, no, that's fine, but looking at it from an outsider's perspective, a lot of people are watching this movie and never read the comic.
Right,
they only know Ra's al Ghul from Batman Begins.
Don't get me wrong. Okay, if you've never read the comic book, if you don't know who these characters are, then absolutely you'll think it's a pretty good movie. Now, going from it as just a regular moviegoer's perspective, one of the worst fight scenes I have ever seen between Batman and Bane. It's so pathetically choreographed, and, I mean, good God, you could tell they weren't hitting each other. I mean, seriously, let me throw a punch, and it's going to miss you by a foot.
Well, I agree. I agree. That was one of the weaker parts of the film, and I didn't think it was a very important part, except for the one incident that brought on, you know, Bruce Wayne's next half of the movie. I mean, whatever. It's necessary.
Okay, let's start at the beginning of the movie. The concept that Bruce Wayne gave up. He is no longer Batman. Are you kidding me? What the hell are you talking? I mean, when did Bruce Wayne turn into the biggest wiener ever?
I don't think it was so much as he gave up. He felt that...
I'm killing you guys right now, aren't I? Come on, chime in.
I'm like, Dan, come on, man. So, come on, give it to him.
I'm waiting for Dallas to get out of the hole here, man. Come on, Dallas, I'm behind you, man. I'm behind you.
I liked it. I thought it was fun. It's definitely no Dark Knight.
No, you want to talk about a movie that I recently came across that I expected to be an absolute hunk of crap. I expected this movie to be horrible. Was the Halo live-action movie Forward Until Dawn. I suggest any Halo fan out there, hell, any fan of a video game that has seen these horrible video game movies, Super Mario Brothers, what was that one shooting game, Haunted House.
House of the Dead?
House of the Dead,
wasn't there a Street Fighter with Van Damme?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Let's take a look at all these horrible video game movies. And I'm kind of including a little bit of Resident Evil in here, too, because really those aren't really all that great movies following the video game series. It's a whole universe unto itself. This movie, however, was fantastic. Not only did it tie in the past of the Halo franchise, but it ties into the future, into Halo 4. This is a direct jump-off point at the end of the movie for you to start playing Halo 4. Nice. And it's beautifully done. It really is. I expected the CGI to be garbage. It was great. I thought it was a great movie. Now, that's a good movie. Batman Rise was a hunk of crap.
I guess my question is, if you didn't like it, why did you buy the Blu-ray?
It's the trilogy. He got all three movies.
It's the entire trilogy. I had a $25 gift certificate to Walmart and nothing to spend it on. And it was $26.
Nice. Okay. And come on, Dark Knight was a great movie.
Oh, yeah, Dark Knight on Blu-ray is worth
a
fantastic movie.
That's worth $26
alone.
Honestly,
though, here's my problem now that I have with the trilogy, now that it's complete, okay? The trilogy starts with Ra's al Ghul. Then we get Joker. And then we get Bane. And... of course, you know, Ra's al Ghul's daughter. So, knowing this, if they were filming it in this order, why didn't we have something about the League of Shadows in the second movie? Was Joker just thrown in as filler piece? I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from Dark Knight, because it was a fantastic movie, could stand alone on its own without the other two.
I think that's kind of what it does.
I really think
it's kind of a piece that sets outside of the other two, because
honestly, I feel like The first one and the third one are together.
They're connected, yeah. Rises is more of a sequel.
Dark Knight is truthfully just... It's a standalone movie. It really is.
Well, on Slow Robot, we did a top 10 about sequels, and we were hard-pressed to find sequels that were better than the original in any... I mean, there are some, maybe Aliens, maybe, or whatever, but we were hard-pressed to find any sequels.
Superman 2 was better than Superman.
But they were both filmed at the same time, kind of, sort of.
Still, a sequel, and it was better.
Yeah, I mean, but we were hard-pressed to find that
Godfather
many.
Godfather 2 was better than Godfather 2.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's think of a couple.
Let's go for it. Yeah.
Terminator 2, I think.
Lord of the Rings 2.
Terminator
2 was far superior than the first, even though both were good. The second one was far superior. There was a bunch of them.
X-Men 2, I liked much
liked
better.
I've never
what
seen
about RoboCop 2?
No.
I just threw my mouth.
There's other ones.
Okay,
Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, definitely not one of them.
Okay. You forgot the best one of all time, and of course this is the one that I always use. Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo. Way better than Breaking. Way better, okay?
You haven't seen any of the movies.
Wait. Huh. Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2 was great.
Is it really?
It really was
better
great.
Better than the first one, though? No, I don't think so.
But still, it was damn
Holly
good.
Said no.
You know, one thing, I appreciate all that Rook said about Dark Knight. I haven't seen the movie. Dark Knight, what is it? Returns? What?
Rises.
But Dallas really liked the movie, and I'd like to hear... You know, what you're thinking about it, because right now, I'll be honest, I'm kind of embarrassed to be your friend right now.
To be completely honest, I can't really refute anything that Rook said. I mean, it's a fun, engaging movie, completely flawed, just like Rook said. But I tend to look past those kind of things, and I just enjoy a movie for what it is. Now, like I said a little bit ago, it's no Dark Knight.
But I'm saying, even if you remove yourself from the Batman mythology, if you remove yourself from knowing what I know about Batman, about Ra's al Ghul, it was still a bad movie.
I wouldn't say a bad movie because it was paced really well. You know, the beginning, the whole Bruce Wayne quitting.
I fell asleep at the end.
What?
I'm dead serious.
Wow.
I goddamn fell asleep.
The thing I like about it is there's a huge incident in the middle of the movie that completely breaks up the whole film. So the first half you have this mysterious character, Bane, kind of rising to prominence, and then this event happens in the football stadium.
All right, let's just throw it out there. Spoiler alert, you're talking about when Bane breaks his back.
No.
What big event are you talking about?
The moment he takes over Gotham.
Okay.
And he blocks off all the exits to Gotham, and it suddenly becomes a tale of two cities. Completely different film than the first half of the movie. It's great. The dynamic completely changes. The mood, the ambiance of the film completely changes. It's great. And I just love that sudden shift in tone. Completely unexpected. And it feels like you're watching a different movie. And I think that was kind of a brilliant thing to do.
I thought it was an interesting thing to do. I wouldn't call it brilliant, honestly.
Well, brilliant in the context of a comic book movie. You know, not brilliant. You know, it's not a Kurosawa movie.
I haven't seen Citizen Kane.
Come on.
As I've always said, it's rare for me to really enjoy a superhero movie. There's a couple I've liked, but I never had any interest to see it. Dallas has always been excited about it. Actually, the entire planet, with the exception of Rook, has liked this movie. And well, my daughter went to see it, and she told me about it. She went with a friend who wanted to see the film. She was so-so about it, but she told me the story, and certain things I liked about it was, I guess Alfred was explaining to him, he always had this dream of what he'd be doing, and then when the movie ended, basically he walked by and saw him. I guess Batman was in Europe somewhere?
Yeah, he was in Paris.
And basically it sounded like it was closed, like, you know, he was finished being Batman and went on. And I always talk about this in American comic books, the books never end. You know, in Japan, other places, the series will end when it finishes. That's something that's honestly unheard of.
Well, but see, I think they did this with that movie because they specifically said, this is the end. Christian Nolan and Christian Bale are not going to do another Batman. They're done.
Right.
So they ended their Batman, and they gave the opportunity for someone else to pick it up later on.
What the heck was that? You hear something loud coming from the garage.
I think it's Batman.
Rook's dogs are raising a ruckus, and they just broke something huge in his house.
No, but that's something. Either the book will get canceled, or the series just goes on, you know, all the time, where they just keep recycling it, rechanging it.
Well, it's going to happen when it's a property.
Well, exactly. But even the Superman movies of Christopher Reeve, the first two, you know, were basically done together, and they were nice. And then they just continued on, and the movies got worse and worse and worse with no idea of what they were going to do next.
Okay, you know? I'm back, and I just witnessed a 70-pound pit bull getting his butt kicked by a 6-pound cat.
Wow. Oh, man.
Don and I didn't just get
poor kid.
Well, the beauty of the film is it is a trilogy, so it does have an ending. And our popular culture, as far as motion pictures these days, people are obsessed with trilogies because they like the start, the middle, and the end. They like it's the mentality of like a play. It's separated into three acts, so you do have a clearly defined beginning, middle, and an end. And for something like this in film. After it's over, it's over. It's going to be rehashed. That character, that property will be rehashed by a completely different creative team, but it'll be a completely different story.
We have become so obsessed with trilogy concept films that we take something like The Hobbit and turn it into a 3-part movie. Yeah. Seriously, someone should be punched in the face for this. I went and saw The Hobbit, and I could have cut out a good hour's worth of crap and finish the damn movie. Maybe it's just because, you know, as a child I remember reading The Hobbit and, you know, the Hobbit cartoon movie, but they're making this a 3-part movie is what I'm being told.
All I can think of is I can't wait to see all 3 movies.
All I can think of is there's no way in hell I'm going to the theater to see the next 2.
Wow, we got like point counterpoint.
You're a Debbie Downer.
This is a segment here.
Yeah, I've like turned into super jerk. Okay,
No,
that's fine.
The industry is pissing me off.
Oh, it sucks. I totally agree with you.
You know the Lord of the Rings films. I really liked. I was a huge fan of the books. You know, I've read them quite a bit since I was 14, and I was really skeptical when I saw the online. They had the trailers for them years before the movies came out. But when I went to see it, I was shocked. I really love those. Now, when the DVDs started coming out, they had the extended editions. And people I work with are buying those. And, you know, I had the regular DVD, but I watched the extended one. And I was really surprised, even though they were saying they were giving you like 30, 40 extra minutes of footage. It's just what Rook said. It was footage that didn't need to be done. Like, the movie started out with, you know, Gandalf going to Bilbo's house.
See, here I will disagree with you, actually. I found the extended versions to be fantastic of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I think he's just disagreeing and disagree at this point.
I felt it really messed the timing. The only thing on the first one was when they gave... I can't remember that woman's name. She gave
Galadriel.
Yeah. She gave the gifts. That should have been in the regular film. That was the one mistake. But the rest of it, like I said...
That was an important plot point.
The film opened up, and you spend about 7 minutes going through Bilbo's house. Oh, come on. And I ended up watching Two Towers same way, and I finally thought, enough's enough. It's just... So I could see where he'd make 3 movies out of The Hobbit, you know? It's just going further and further with it.
But see, the problem is that they're not making 3 movies out of The Hobbit. They're making 3 movies out of The Hobbit so that they can make money and lead it into Lord of the Rings. Okay? There are serious points in this movie where you're going... Okay, this is only shoved in here just so you can say, okay, you know, this is kind of giving you foreshadowing to what we've already done. Look, you don't need to foreshadow what's already been done. We've all already seen Lord of the Rings. We don't need foreshadowing to the idea of Lord of the Rings. You know, there's the council at Elrond where, help me with her pronunciation of their name.
Galadriel?
Yes. Thank you. I can never pronounce your name right. Saruman, Gandalf, and Elrond are sitting there discussing why Gandalf has this troop of dwarves going on this quest. And they're basically telling him to stop. No, do it. You're not allowed. And foreshadowing some of the concepts of a dark power rising, etc., orcs and goblins coming down from the mountains, things like this. It really didn't need to be in the damn movie. It just really, really threw me off at that point.
I think at this point, Peter Jackson and these guys are also such big fans, and they're trying to give fan service as well. This is a love letter to The Hobbit. They're gushing about it. And yeah, there's a lot of extraneous stuff.
Yes, I understand that they are huge, huge Tolkien fans. But, like, that scene could have been in the extended version. It really should have been in the extended version. I did not need to see that eat up a good, I don't know, 10 minutes of my time in the theater. That could have been spent, I don't know, having 10 minutes of them walking.
Padding. That's what we call padding. Well, yeah. Kind of make the movie longer than it should be.
Well, like I said, the book was the same size as each book in the trilogy. They could have just made one movie.
Exactly.
Like they do with the other ones.
But why make one when you can get three and make
well,
one?
Know, but,
well, that's
you know,
a good point, like Rook said.
Well, at one point they convinced them to do two movies, then later on it turned into three, and I don't know, I've always been skeptical. Now, again, this is the first time I've heard anything. The few people I've heard see the movie just absolutely love it. But Rook, once again, is the only one that comes in and says he didn't like it.
And that's fine. That's great.
I have yet to see it, but...
I guess I'm just a dick that way, but like I said, I'm just really kind of getting tired of Hollywood taking these films, taking these concepts, and just, like, kind of going their own direction with them, or throwing in a bunch of... Basically, what I feel like they're doing is they're dumbing down the concepts of these movies, of these properties. They're dumbing them down so that the lowest common denominator can sit there and go, "The yuck. I understand."
Yeah, that's all inclusive throughout, you know, media, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, especially popular media like this. It's a huge movie, so they are reaching out and trying to get...
But they do want to go, like you said, they do want to get people that never read the books to see the movie.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that is a big problem. Ron? Rook?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it is a big problem. It's, you know... Alright, have we all seen Inception?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Alright. Well, I'm sorry, Al. I'm going to talk about something you don't know. Inception was a beautiful movie. Very, very
I think that's
cerebral.
Why you were so let down by Dark Knight Rises, because Inception was so damn good. Alright, go on.
Maybe it is. Inception was a beautiful movie. It was so cerebral, so fantastically done that at the end of the movie, you had half, if not three quarters of the theater sitting there going, "What?"
Yeah.
You know, I have incredibly intelligent people that I have conversations with sit there and go, "I just didn't get it." And you go, "Okay, well, watch the movie a second time." They watch it a second time and they're like, "Oh, now I get it." Yeah. I think it's a problem that I think Hollywood is going, "Oh, well, you know, maybe we do need to dumb it down a little bit, you know."
Well, that's it, because movies that make you think generally aren't that popular with the mass media. Now, Inception's is an exception to the rule.
Yeah, I think Inception is an exception to the rule. But I thought that.
Say that three times, man.
Well, you know, the thing, too, is a book is a book and a movie is a movie. They're never the same thing. So the movie's always going to be a condensed version of the idea of the book, usually.
But here's a fun little thing about Inception. Even Inception is not a new concept. Inception just basically ripped off Total Recall, but did a whole hell of a lot better job of it.
Never thought about that.
I'm going to disagree with you there. Total Recall was awesome.
not the remake.
It's neither here nor there.
No, Total Recall was awesome. And we're talking the original, not the new one. I haven't seen the new one. Yeah. It's probably horrible.
That's probably true.
But
it was the same idea.
Was the same idea. Just done in a far more thoughtful and intelligent way. Instead of I am Arnold, I break things.
I guess if the whole thing was in Total Recall, basically the guy slowly starts finding out what happened to him. Mm-hmm. Whereas the people in Inception, it was complete, you know, it was something that these people did and went in and did it.
But at the end of Recall, you have to also question, is it real or is it Recall?
Right.
So.
No, absolutely. You know the original ending for that? It was supposed to be like the end of Brazil. where he was getting his memories implanted, you know, what caused all that? Mm-hmm. They basically said, well, we lost another one. And that's where the movie's supposed to end. That was the original ending. And, you know, they showed these premieres where people had the buttons on what they liked and what they didn't. And that was just such a sour ending. Nobody liked it. So they went and changed it to, you know, what
happy-go-lucky ending.
Which, you know, I like.
Arnold says the day.
Yeah, but they'll correct all these things on Inception 2 and Inception 3.
I really hope they don't. I really hope they don't make sequels of that.
I don't
movie.
Think they will, because it was successful, but it wasn't that successful.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is most people I talked to about Inception when it was in theaters and they went to see it in theater, they went to see it two or three times. But then those are the ones that got the movie. The ones that didn't get the movie was like, frickin' movie sucked. I'm never seeing it again. I don't even want to buy the DVD.
I liked it. I really liked it. But it's one of those films where I enjoyed it, and once was enough. Some movies I want to watch over and over again, and that one, well, it was actually quite good.
Inception, to me, is like Watchmen. I can see different little nuances in the film every time I watch it. Just like Watchmen, I see different nuances in the book every time I read it.
Right. That's a funny lead-in, because you were getting, last time I talked to you, back a couple of years ago, you were getting the Before Watchmen series. Have you been reading it?
No. I stopped getting it.
But how did you read any of those?
No, I was waiting to get them all, and then I was going to read them all at one time, and oops. I got to get them.
Don, pick up your mic.
Oh, man, well, that just...
Honestly, I'm probably going to wait until they're in trade. Yeah. You know, I was picking up so many different books for a little while there that I was really kind of going off kilter and just spending way too much money.
Right.
And now with Marvel's reboot, I am once again spending way too much money.
Oh, no.
Are they rebooting the whole universe?
The whole deal, yeah.
They've started from one again.
What? Didn't DC do that last year? Wow, are they copying
each other? The New 52?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, they're copying each other? No, you don't think so, Al.
That's so rare.
Yeah, that never happens.
Well, the reason, again, back to Watchmen, Before Watchmen, I haven't gotten any of these. I didn't have any interest. But I've heard people talking about the Comedian series. And that one kind of threw me. And, you know, the rest of them, to me, just sound kind of like, well, just what I thought. I mean... people seem to be enjoying the books, but it's kind of surface. And the Comedian series, from what I've heard, really surprised me. I've seen pages online, and it shows the Comedian character playing football with the Kennedy brothers. And I thought, well, I thought he was the one to kill Kennedy. You know, he was always portrayed, you know, in Ozymandias in the Watchmen series is basically talking about he didn't understand, he was completely against it, and he felt he was the one that killed Kennedy. And I was always led to believe that he was just, that's the way he was. When you watch the film, they showed him killing Kennedy, you know. But in this series, basically he starts out, and he's good friends with the brothers, and he's right along with what they're trying to do. And they also talk about when he's, when Kennedy's killed, whoever set it up to where the Comedian was somewhere away where he couldn't help him. And when the Kennedy was shot, he broke down and cried bitterly, like he was sorry what happened. And then I just started thinking about it. You know, it actually doesn't contradict what from the original series, because when they said, where were you, you know, when Kennedy was killed, and they were laughing like he was the one that did it, and he had some quip, but I started thinking, well, actually, he didn't say he did. And I guess that's the thing I really liked, not really understanding, was in the old Watchmen series, there was always different levels of things, just like in life, that you don't really catch, but it's kind of there, and sometimes things will unfold, and oh, that's why that happened.
Well, that's true, and the beauty of a lot of parts of that book is it's so subtle in the execution. There was the implication that he might have killed JFK, but they never said it, and right. You're right, if you looked at it from the Comedian's point of view, he was looking, you know, he was thinking back, you know, we didn't know what he was thinking, but it never literally stated that he had killed him. Whereas in the movie, like they do a lot in movies, and like we were just discussing...
They bluntly hit you over the head with it.
Yes, well, they literally show him assassinating John F.
Well, Kennedy. It's just surface. It was all surface. And the other thing was, in the original series, I didn't understand that the hangman and Captain Metropolis were gay men. And
really? You didn't know that?
No, I never knew that.
Yeah, it was. They allude to it in the regular panel pieces, and then in the extra pieces.
It was something I never caught. You know, when I found out, it was like, okay, I could see that. But I never thought about it. I never looked at it. And I was actually surprised when I'd heard these things about Batman and Robin being gay. It was when they were talking about doing what ended up being the Tim Burton movies. And it was Adam West was going around speaking about he wanted to play Batman and they wouldn't let him. And he says, listen, you can't do a film where you got two guys close to the same age living together and not think they're gay. What? I never thought that. And
what, you never thought Bert and Ernie were gay?
Never thought Bert. You know, and I'm going to say something on that. When you're a kid, you don't think of that. I mean, you like to be around boys, you know, or whoever your own kind is. It's always separated.
You're exactly it. When you're a kid, you don't think of that. Just like, you know, as a kid growing up, I thought He-Man was awesome. And now I look at He-Man, I'm like, wow, what a huge racist.
Well, you know, that's a funny one because I love when I was a kid, we used to go see those was it George Reeves or Steve Reeves? Superman.
Which one?
George Reeves.
Hercules.
Hercules and Steve Reeves.
I love those films. I went to see them at the theater a couple of times, thought they were the greatest. Later on, they showed them on TV, and me and my friends, that's all we talked about. Greatest. Bought the DVDs. I still like them, but I watch it. God, those are so gay, you know. You got all these really big, muscly guys hanging around in loincloths talking, and there's nothing implied about it, you know, at all. But I remember I was telling a friend of mine.
The visual's implied.
You know, I just got those DVDs.
Spartacus.
Yeah. And when I said that, oh, those are so gay. Well, they're not, but I could see why. But, you know, when you're a kid, you're a heroic guy with a bunch of other heroic guys, of course you're going to do this and that. So, yeah, but no, I never could. There was a lot of things in Watchmen that slowly you start thinking about later that you didn't really notice, and later on the layers kind of come up. And that's what I had a problem with. But I was kind of surprised at the comedian series, a little bit I heard. Whoever's writing that really gets it. Whereas the rest of them, to me, it still seemed kind of... They seem like okay stories from what I heard, but...
Seems like fluff pieces.
I was going to say that. The only one I read was The Silk Spectre, and it was a fun story. I just read the first issue. But it was completely unnecessary. It was your whole idea of The Hobbit having these unnecessary scenes.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you agree with it in the comic book medium, I think it's a little unnecessary to do this, to add these extra layers.
Honestly, the little bit... I will admit, I have perused the pages a little bit of the different Before Watchmen. And honestly, I think the whole thing's unnecessary.
Yeah,
it really is. You know, what little bit I have read, what I have been exposed to via the net and everything, I find the entire Before Watchmen piece to be completely unnecessary. That's pretty much why I'm waiting for trade paperbacks, because, you know, I'll read them that way instead.
Now, that being said, they might be some really good books and really good stories, so as far as entertainment value, it might be awesome. You might like it. But as far as being a part of the Watchmen canon, yeah, no matter what, it's going to be extraneous and unnecessary.
Absolutely.
You know, you can read it and enjoy it, but still know that you don't really need it to. You don't need it to enjoy the original Watchmen.
No. I really don't see how any of this is going to affect the way you read the original Watchmen. The original Watchmen is a standalone piece.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've seen them. Some of them are really nice looking books. You know, if they would have been about something else, I probably would have picked some of them up. But anyway, but that's the thing that just kind of amazed me was the comedian. Like I said, when I heard people talk about, I said, okay, it's completely different than anything else I've seen. The closest thing I can think of was when Alan myself met Rook. I come over and shake this guy's hand, wearing motorcycle boots, Harley Davidson shirt, standing there smoking, and when I said hi, he goes, hey, how you doing? And in those four words, I felt he summed up my entire existence. And I just thought, this is the most terrifying man I've ever seen.
And then he wondered, I wonder where he was the night Kennedy was assassinated.
And then when we left, you know, Dallas, Al, and myself all got in our economy cars. Rook gets in this motorcycle with flames on the tank. And I'm thinking, my God, this guy is too cool to do the podcast with us. So I lived in mortal fear of being around Rook until I met his son. a fine, well-adjusted 11-year-old boy, and Rook completely changed. You know, he was one of the best fathers I've ever seen. Okay, there's humanity to this guy. So like I say, in life, there's different levels to everything that you do.
I've known Rook since...
I've known Rook since
he was a fine, well-adjusted 8-year-old boy. So I can bang on this kid all I want.
No, I think we met when we were like 6 or 7.
Yeah, it was probably 6 or 7. 7, yeah. Guys, on that note, I'm going to wrap the show because it's been a good hour. And next episode, I promise you, we'll talk about comic books, not just movies.
hopefully, I'll see both of you guys. Alan and myself will see y'all before 14, 15 more episodes go by. Oh,
I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, I have to mix and put together every single one of these episodes. So I'm there in spirit.
Yes, you are. You should just kind of talk over them a little bit. You know?
I'm too lazy.
Yeah, just put in little cuts of going, yeah, I agree.
I'm gonna pre-record a bunch of like stuff. Don, I completely agree on that topic.
Have like a bonus track. It's like, oh my God, they're going on and rambling on forever. You know?
I'm just over you guys and go, is anyone really listening to this? Can I just cut this?
Is this another 6-hour episode? Yeah. Well, Filipino movies.
Oh my God.
On that note, thank you everyone for listening. We want to pimp a couple things. First off, you can find us on the web. I have no idea what the heck our website URL is. Does anyone else know?
It's if you type it in, it doesn't take you. It takes you to the Bunch of Dork site. Just type Two Dimension Podcast, TWO, Dimension Podcast, in Google, and it'll come up. Hopefully this will be fixed. This is out of our control. But anyway, just try that. Or you can go to our old site and click there.
Yeah, or you can get us on iTunes.
Here. That's right. Whoever wrote us an iTunes review, thank you very much. And
High five.
Did we get a good one?
Yeah.
No, they said we suck.
No, they're all been good. But if you could write us an iTunes review, we'd really appreciate it. It helps us in the rankings, and maybe somebody else will find us.
That's absolutely true. You know, all the support you guys can give us, we appreciate. Also, you can find Al's alter ego, Dr. Morbius, on Slow Robot A Go Go.
Slow Robot A Go Go every week on Slice Radio now from Australia and iTunes. And
yeah, congratulations on that, by the way.
Yeah, we're big in Australia. Yay! We're superstars here. We'll be going over there. Fighting kangaroos or something. I don't know.
That's awesome. I just punched this Joey in the face. Also, anybody else want to pimp anything? We've got our fine local establishment. Rook?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you do need to update your possible links to Yancey Street Comic Books website. It is now Yancey Street Comics, and that's street with an ST, .net. So it's .net, everybody.
I guess we should update our link on our website.
Yeah. Yes. And everybody, check out some new friends of mine that I've made. It's Game Traders, GameTraders.biz. These guys have all your classic video game needs at some of the best prices I have ever seen.
Biz as in Bismarcky?
As in B-I-Z.
Awesome. Also, check out my webcomic. I think as of this recording, I posted episode or page 44. That's the Mighty Blue. It's mightybluecomic.blogspot.com, and I'm also available on various webcomic sites, including smackjeeves.com. Show me some love.
Is your comic book kind of influenced by Tolkien a little bit?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you've never read it, don't lie.
Yes, I have. You know I never read it anyway. I just look at the pictures.
There's also links to it. It's updated weekly every Monday, and there's a link on our Facebook page. So check us out on Facebook as well. Just Google or Facebook and then keyword Two Dimension Podcast, and you'll find us. Friend us. You'll see all the updates, all the fun stuff, and the conversations we've got over there.
And we're Silent Bill.
Yeah, I forgot about Silent
he's,
Bill.
He's dead to us, I guess. I don't know. Silent Bill, if you're listening, please get a hold of us.
I went on our website.
So yeah.
I went and I saw a Silent Bill thing, and I was like, oh, he wrote a new thing, and I was like, oh, no, this is from 2011. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sometimes I get mysterious phone calls, and it's just heavy breathing, so I figured maybe it's Silent
Bill.
We can
post that, can't we?
Usually just Rook, though.
Sorry.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you're listening to this, then we've all survived the Mayan apocalypse, and congratulations.
I was really hoping for a zombie apocalypse, personally.
But still might happen.
It could happen.
No thanks.
Happy holidays, everyone.
We're trying to end the show for like 10 minutes. End it!
Happy holidays, everyone! and tune in next time. And until then, read more comics.